Oh, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. There are 46 verses in this chapter, translation that we have, and also commentary, and then we also have part 5 of regeneration. And we also have some letters and good responses here. I believe all the responses are good. Amen?
Amen.
Whether good or bad, because, you know, when bad ones come in, I like to respond to them as well. It's always people that are from, you know, false religions or people that really don't understand the Bible, and it gives me an opportunity to show them through the Bible the truth of the bad way that they're thinking. Right now, let's go up to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint with His outward anointing this message today. We're going worldwide, remember, so everybody pray with me that God will really anoint. I know He always does, but let's pray that God will open up, Father, the ears, the spiritual ears of people to hear Your word and to open their spiritual eyes so that they be able to see that the things that they're hearing is the truth. We ask, Lord, that the church will be edified from these messages throughout the world, and that many souls will be saved from Your word, which is spirit and life. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, we're just a few here in my little cottage, and sometimes I preach from the church and sometimes from the cottage, and I have preached in many big auditoriums before. But, you know, the Lord preached on top of mountains and in valleys and all over the place. So wherever the Spirit is anointing, that's where the Lord is. Amen. So where's the first letter from?
From Sister Deborah in Los Angeles, California.
Okay, I understand that this sister moved into the church. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, let me hear that.
Dear Pastor Tony, I'd like to begin first saying I thank God for you having such a place for people such as myself to have refuge. I have searched all my life for life that would grant me peace and a reason for living. Since I have been here, I have been taught that this is so, of course, through Jesus Christ. As I went to churches out there, I could not understand why life was so contrary to what I was reading in the Bible. Here, I now have peace and am growing. I have what I have been looking for all my life, and your teaching is the Word of God. Pastor, your ministry here has blessed me abundantly. I have been blessed with so many things. I needed clothing, toiletries, etc. I came here with the clothes on my back. Thank God for your crew who goes out tracking to win souls, such as they did for me. I was taken literally off the streets of Los Angeles. I was dirty and had been on a bout of drugs and alcohol. I am delivered and transforming, thank God. I was on my way to hell at the rate I was going. Praise God for plucking me out. Thank you so much, Sister Deborah.
Well, praise the Lord. All right, and then where's the next letter from?
It's translated from Spanish from Brother Israel.
Okay, and where is he from? New York, I think. Okay, then what else?
You are a father to all in your ministry. Pastor, this card was handed to me during services on Father's Day.
You know, like a father. The Apostle Paul stated he was the father to, he had begotten people by preaching the word to them. And so even though it's the Lord that is the father, very few people call me father, they call me dad, you know, that they're dad. They think of me as their dad, but God is our Father, and so, Paul stated that he has begotten them unto the Lord, and so evidently that happened with this young man, or older man, I don't know who it is, but go ahead.
It reminded me of you as I looked at that card. I was thinking of how I didn't send you a greeting card for Father's Day. Even though Father's Day has passed a long time ago, with the grace and love of our Lord Jesus, I send you this card of a father and his son. This is like you as a father, spiritually, to many in your world ministry, bringing the message of power, the gospel, in which many around the world are getting saved through your literature, which the Lord has laid it upon your heart to write. You will always be a dad in the hearts of those who receive your literature with love. Even though the date of Father's Day celebration is over, according to tradition, to me you should be remembered as a father throughout the year. Happy Father's Year, along with all of your loved ones. On my behalf, with the love of the all-powerful Christ, the Lord. Amen. Then for the spiritual father of the World Ministries, the Pastor Tony Alamo. I hope, along with your loved ones, you like the CD, the music in which the name of the CD represents what you have done in the calling of the Lord in your life, consecrated to Him. Glory to God for everything that has been written in this letter. So be it. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Quote, my servant has died out, is sleeping in Christ. Arise, keep on going with your body, soul, and spirit on high, walking in the Holy Spirit. Pass over Jordan. Keep on going through every trial in your life that wants to stop you from moving on with the work of the Lord. You and all the people, the brethren in your ministry, to the land, all this, the will of the Lord, for you, that I give you, the children of Israel. You all are the spiritual Israel, the bride of the Lamb. Amen. Then he says, the brackets are messages for you, which I have just added, along with chapter 1, verse 2, regarding Joshua.
Isn't that nice? I mean, that's so nice, huh?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't know anybody that gets this good of mail anywhere, you know? It's just really amazing to me. It humbles me, really, you know, because I know that when you just preach the Word of God, people really respect you, you know? And I've seen this down through 40, almost 41 years, you know, how people respect. Then you see sometimes the devil gets into people, and just like he got into the people, those angels in the kingdom of heaven, one-third of them, and they started saying how evil God was, and you people, you angels up here don't know what he says behind closed doors up there, man. He laughs at you because you worship him, and he jokes and mocks some of you, and he just does all kinds of, if you only knew him like I do, you don't get to go in on those private meetings of his. Yeah, and this is the same way that Satan operates on the earth today, is he comes to people with trials and tribulations and false accusations against the people of the Lord. I remember when the Department of Labor brought Sun Myung-moon into the country and had all these mass weddings, and then they exalted and paid a lot of money to Jim Jones. I don't know anything about the Jim Jones ministry outside the fact that some of them escaped from Jonestown in Africa or wherever this is. It was, and they came to our church, and they went to other churches saying that those people never took Kool-Aid. What happened was that government agents went in there and put bullet holes in every one of them, and they said they were so frightened that they escaped into the woods, and then they made it look as though they were drinking Kool-Aid, and that they all committed suicide. You can't. There's no one on the face of this earth that has enough verbal power, or that are wordsmiths enough, or that could talk well enough, even Hitler, to talk people into unanimously everyone committing suicide, 1,000 at one time. You know, out of maybe 10 people in the church, it's hard to get somebody to even sweep the sidewalk. If you tell them that you're going to have to take poison Kool-Aid, that is the most ridiculous story that the media, the mouth of Satan, had penetrated into the foolish minds, the stupid minds of the people in the world, and they bought it. That's why the Bible says in the last days Satan would be given a mouth, and there is no other evidence of any other mouth other than the news media, because the government does atrocious things, and then the media pumps the lie that they make up into your brain, and you foolish and idiotic people out there believe that. Jim Jones, those people over there, I don't know what their doctrine was, but they did not commit suicide. And if you think they did 1,000 people at one time, including kids, that you're crazy. they escaped into the woods. And I guess a couple of those people over there had guns or something, and they shot a couple of the ones that were killing them. But nobody hears the truth about that. If they would have never heard the truth about it unless some of them would have escaped into the woods over there and got somehow back to the States and started informing everybody. And another thing with this David Koresh over in Waco, those people were just born of the Spirit Christians. Now, I don't know if he was having sex with all those women over there or not, but they say the same thing about me, you know, that I'm having sex with all kinds of women, 71 years old, for God's sake. You know, come on. And they say all kinds of stuff about anybody that's preaching the gospel. That's what they do. That's what their job is. That's what Satan is, to spread that kind of stuff. Why? Because he wants to destroy your soul. They probably said the same thing about King Solomon and David, that he was having sex with all... They were. They were having sex. But, you know, in the Bible, God said, I gave you those women, and so on and so forth. And so, but nevertheless, here in the United States, they have a law that you can't keep the you can't do what the Lord says that you can do. The Lord says when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you know the truth, Christ is the truth will set you free. So even if he was doing things that are not condemned by God, but if he was sleeping with married couples, of course, but God will take care of that man. He'll send his soul to hell if he was doing that. But there's plenty of evidence, and we have one of the federal agents that they asked to go over there to kill those people. We have evidence that shows that they went there to kill them. Why? Because they want to make Christian people that are true Christians to look like cults. And the Vatican has always done that. They always burn people at stake, fed them to the lions, and put them in with gladiators and so on and so forth to destroy them. Even it's so well known that even the movie industry keeps making movies about it. Okay, that's well known. It's a well known established fact that that's what the Catholic Vaticanites do. They're no more Christians than the devil is. They, as a matter of fact, the Bible states that that cult is the very headquarters of the Antichrist, and that the Antichrist is a corporate body of millions of people, maybe even billions, and the body of Christ is a corporate body of hundreds, thousands, or maybe a few millions. But there's less of us than there is of them, and so we're the actual minority in the world today. And so... You know, if the Bible says something is condemned, then it is. And they're condemning marriage today. And they're condemning marriage of young people. The Bible says that let the young women marry. And they become women when they reach the age of puberty. But boy, that is like a horrible sin today. And so, you know, you have to put... you have to say, well, I'm going to believe the Word of God, or I'm going to believe the United States system. All the billions of people elsewhere in the world believe that women should marry when they're young and have children and take care of the house. Otherwise, they're going to be fornicating in school, and the schools, these demonic schools, are handing out condoms to them. And then the girls go and have abortions and murder. So they're guilty of fornication and murder. But that's all right to this Antichrist government. But it's a horrible sin for them to get married and for their husbands to support them and their children. Okay, now if you agree with the Antichrist system today, then you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You say, well, no, we haven't. You just don't know the Bible. You read it and see if you haven't. Because God never condemns marriage. Never. And the actual laws on the book in the United States is that women can be married with parental consent at the ages of 12, 13, 14, and 15 years old. But what are they doing now? They're telling people that they have to go to prison for statutory rape if that happens. My grandmother was around 12 or 13 years old when she was married, and she had 10 children. Well, that's one thing that the Antichrist government doesn't want. is to have population, and they've brain damaged you people out in the world to believe that the world is overpopulated. If you've ever taken an airplane trip across the United States of America, you'll see that less than 0.1% of the land is being occupied. And the reason they say there's going to be a lack of food, why? Because the government pays farmers billions and billions of dollars each year to not grow food. And they say that there's going to be a lack of water. Did you realize that most of this planet is water? There's no problem with water. There's no problem with fuel. They say that we have a shortage of fuel, but it came out several years ago that we have enough fuel stored away in storage tanks to last for 300 years, even if the population was 8 billion people. Okay, so, you know, you're being told a huge lie, lies all the time, and yet you keep listening to them and believing them. The things that people are saying, if you see them saying anything evil about Christians on television, unless it's an out-and-out cult, which is part of the Vatican, if you hear them saying anything about evil about a real born-again Christian, you got to know that these people are good. If they're exalting someone like they do the popes and all these false religions, then you got to know those people are the product of the devil, members of Satanic Antichrist Church. All right, so let's go on with this.
Then from an email from Benin City, Africa. Hello, my spiritual father. I'm very delighted by the importance that you have given to my request. I sincerely thank you for the results. I have received the newsletters. You know, since I was a child, my ambition has been to work for the Creator, that is, the person who has created the heavens and the earth. Here I am at least on the way, thanks to your help.
Right, if people believe in this satanic world government more than they do the Creator of heavens and the earth and you and I, then there is something so spiritually retarded with those people. We just pray that you people will believe the gospel and be saved today. Because everything you've been told all your life, unless you've been hearing the gospel from born-again Christians, is a dirty lie. Everything you've heard before, except the gospel. Okay, then what else?
I am winning more than 10 people a week for God with your newsletters.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
And I know that God and his angels will all be happy with you and me. I see
Amen, brother or sister. Then what?
I see that God wants the ministry that he has trusted me with to grow. For this, I am asking for spiritual and moral help. That is, I want to be taught by you so the faith that is in me will grow, and I will also grow spiritually. Therefore, I need your agreement to pursue the training, because I want to serve the God of Pastor Tony Alamo, who heals, and to serve him with all my strength and soul. I promise to serve this God. I want your agreement to receive the training and even participate in one of your crusades or in the intersections of the streets. I am ready. Reply to me, and I'm sure that you will not regret it, Pastor Alamo. Your brother in Christ, Brother S. from Benin City, Africa.
They can mention the first names. I've already said that several times. What is the person's first name?
It just says S.
Well, tell them from now on to write their first names down, okay? Because it sounds so impersonal to just say Brother S. or Sister Q. or whatever. All right?
Yes.
Okay, I have to do this on the air to maybe make somebody respond. Okay, then what?
Then another email from Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through God our Father and through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the Father lavished his love upon us that we should be called the children of God. 1 John 3:1. Pastor, I would like to thank you for the materials you sent me. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ bless you abundantly through all his riches. My friends and I are busy distributing your literature. I have opened a small office, and so many people are coming to get your literatures. Many repented and get baptized. This small office is very busy by school students and people from other churches. They come in asking questions and then repent from their sins. So please send me many literatures of different kinds. Send many newsletters and many of your books entitled Messiah. Thousands of people are coming, as if I give them a lot of money, but it's the Word of God. I am busy with Bible studies with them every day. Please send me 20 Bibles and literature and tapes. I went to some towns preaching about your literature, and people received Jesus and got baptized. Your literature is a net for fish. Many blessings from God be with you and those people who are busy serving in your ministry. Yours in Christ, Douglas from Ghana, Africa.
Okay, is that it?
Yes.
All right, now chapter 22 of Matthew. These are just marvelous letters. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
The story of the great feast. Verse 1. Jesus told them several other stories to illustrate the kingdom. He said, verse 2, quote, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son." Verse 3. Many guests were invited, and when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify everyone that it was time to come, but they all refused. Verse 4.
So that symbolizes people that are out distributing literature and telling them to come into the church and start serving the Lord so that they can be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they all refuse, the nice people, the people of Beverly Hills, Bel Air, Holmby Hills, Truesdale Estates, Pacific Palisades, and all your better places where the refined, reprobate, wealthy live, and the people that live in the hills of your major places in the world and in the valleys, and that really are feeling quite content with the life that they're living. And they refused to come to serve the Lord. Then what?
Verse 4. So he sent other servants to tell them, quote, "The feast has been prepared, and choice meats have been cooked."
In other words, heaven is prepared, and everlasting life, and all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven, all the treasures of the kingdom of heaven is all prepared for you, and a place for you there has been prepared because Christ came and died and shed his blood for you and kept all the commandments and then resurrected from the dead to show without a doubt that this is God in the flesh. And he ascended up into heaven and sits there in heavenly places, ruling from heaven through his servants here on earth by the Spirit, and doing a spiritual warfare through his servants here on earth, and bringing about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And still, all these things have been provided for you, and still, you come not to the Lord. And then you die in your sleep, and people, the reporters, say that you died peacefully, but they didn't see what happened to your spirit after your spirit left your bodies. And that's what they cannot report. But if we believe the word of God, that God is true, and you haven't even made an attempt to come to the feast, the Bible plainly states that your soul went, their soul went, and yours will too, go directly to hell. And then later, hell and death is cast into the lake of fire, and you'll be there for all the torments that are written in the book and that are not written. They're just beyond explanation. Okay, then go ahead.
Everything is ready. Hurry, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 5, but the guests he had invited ignored them and went about their business, one to his farm, another to his store. Verse 6, others seized his messengers and treated them shamefully, even killing some of them.
Right, it's just like the people today, like the Vatican. They hate anybody that is preaching the gospel. They burn them at the stake, feed them to the lions, send them out to the gladiators, put them in prisons, and because they just want a one-world false religion. It's Satan's last attempt to rule the world and everybody in it. And if everybody doesn't cooperate with the one-world government, the Nazi, Vaticanite, Antichrist cult from Rome and the media, well, then you're labeled every kind of evil thing, and even the people want to kill you. They think it's doing God a favor if they kill you, the Bible says. So all these things are prepared for the people, and here's what they do because you're inviting them to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They kill you. They send you to prison. They beat you. They persecute you. They lie about you and everything else so that people won't believe the things that you're saying. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 7, then the king became furious. He sent out his army to
the king, being God, is furious at the way that you people are treating, or many of the people out in the world, the government and the one world cult and all its other affiliates, like the United this church and the United that church. They united themselves to the Antichrist. And so the Lord becomes furious, because he's not just the God of love, he's a God of fury, a God of wrath also, and a God that is a terrorist, the number one terrorist in the whole universe. These people that are terrorizing the people here of the United States and England because of the fact that we've bombed their countries based on a lie, they're nothing in comparison to what God is going to terrorize the people for having done those things and for having not accepted the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He then what?
He sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their city. Verse 8, and he said to his servants, quote, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor.
Right. All you people that do this sort of thing, you're not worthy of the honor. So he's saying, go out to get the hippies. Go out and preach the gospel to everybody, down to the bums, down to Skid Row. Go to the street people, the homeless, the people that, you know, you wouldn't invite to a dog fight. But invite them to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because these people will be thankful. They've never been invited to such a feast before. They'll be so happy. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's why all of us slumboliums, you know, we say, thank you, Jesus, and praise you, Jesus, for inviting us. We never were any big shots in the world before. You know, we couldn't fit into this high-class society type scene. But we're just lucky, and praise the Lord, and just blessed by God to be called by him. A bunch of scallywags. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody that wouldn't get invited to President Kennedy's daughter's birthday party. Now, they spit on us, you know. Okay, but the Lord God has provided a place for us for eternity. And even though we were former street people and for the low class people, here it winds up, they think they're so righteous and they're the ones that what an upset heaven is going to be. All those people will be screaming their heads off for eternity in the lake of fire, where there's multi-millions of torments, and then we'll be sitting up there lounging around in the most exclusive place in the whole universe, and then they will not be able to come. Okay, and not to our joy, because here we and God invited them through us. We're inviting everybody, but you are cutting your own throat and destroying your own soul and sending it to an eternity of torments forever and ever and ever. Okay, then what?
Verse 9. Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see.
Yeah, everybody out the streets. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's where our ministry is. Goody-two-shoe type ministries, man, they're just loaded and they dress up real fine and come park their real fine cars and everything. But our ministry also is down to the streets. We've been on the streets now, for just like the lowly Nazarene, for almost 41 years, people. And that's how we win our souls. And we know these people are for real. And God knows it, too. And that's why he's already to the point of inviting the street people now. And the rest of you who've thumbed your nose at God, God is thumbing his nose at you. Okay, now then what?
Verse 10, so the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. Then the banquet home was filled with guests.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11, but when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Verse 12, quote, friend, unquote, he asked, quote, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes?
I mean, you've been living in the church all this time, but you never really got saved. Maybe it's because of the fact that you got food and clothes and you got to hear the gospel and you got to sit in the church. You got your utilities paid and your clothing and your vitamins and minerals, and if anything happened to you, it was taken care of. But you never really got dressed with the fullness of the stature of Christ. You weren't really with it. You didn't really get to going. You didn't invite Christ into you. And if you did, you left him a long time ago. How come you're not dressed? Why didn't you bring some souls with you into heaven? You're not a soul winner. Why didn't you partake in the work of the Lord? Why didn't you let the Lord work in you, live and work in you? Why? Well, we destined to offend the people of the world. No. What it is you better not offend God. Because I don't mind offending the people of the world. Because if Satan comes after me, I'm not worried about that. But if the Lord comes against me or comes after me, there's no place where you can hide. You might try to run in your bedroom and get under the bed, but the Lord will be right under there saying, hi, right where you're at. You can't get away from the Lord, and you're not going to get away from his judgment either. All right? So, you know, you best get dressed with the fullness of the stature of Christ. You best put on the full armor of God while you're here in this world. You put on all the armor of God. That means all the Word of God, the whole Spirit of God, and you be armed with his Word so that you can win souls. And don't lose the zeal to do that, because the Lord said if you do, he said, what good is salt if it loses its savor? He said, if you lose your zeal, which is symbolized by salt, he says, hey, you're worthy to be trodden under the foot of man. You're worthless. And he said, if you lose your zeal, I'll spit you out of my mouth, which means out of his body. You won't be a member of the body of Christ. You have to get with it. You have to get right with the Lord and do everything he says. That's the blueprint, the map to enter heaven. Okay, then what?
And the man had no reply. Verse 13.
No, what are you going to reply? How come you didn't walk my pathway? Why didn't you walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Why? Why are you not dressed for this occasion? Was it not wonderful enough for you to think that God has invited you into heaven with him? Isn't that enough that God came into the world as a man and died for you and shed his blood and then it resurrected to prove he's God and then ascend into heaven before over 500 people and then take his rightful place on the power side of God? All power in heaven and on earth belongs to the Lord Jesus. All Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. So, in other words, if you're not dressed, he's going to, and you're there in the wedding, and you're just like sitting there with, a pair of dirty old dungarees that are ripped all over the place in a place that is supposed to be a tuxedo affair. And you're grabbed by the nape of your neck and thrown out of there and then cast down into hell in the lake of fire. Okay, let's finish.
Verse 13. Then the king said to his aides, quote, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, that's the same thing as grabbing him by the neck and the neck and the seat of his pants. Bind him up, that's even worse, and throw him out. There's nothing that he can do when he's bound. Bind him and throw him out into outer darkness and down into the pit. Okay, then what?
Verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen, unquote.
Right, you're chosen because you've chosen the Lord. How few there are that really choose the way of salvation, that choose to walk in the Spirit, to turn their back completely on the world, sin, Satan, and the world, and just do what the Lord says. So everybody in the world is called, but a few people choose the Lord, and therefore the Lord doesn't choose them. You're like, a fisher, like the Lord is like a fisherman. He sends the net down and pulls up a bunch of stuff, and here's some fish that are unedible. Like you don't eat certain fish, and some are good, so he keeps them and throws the rest back and throws them into hell. Okay, then what?
Taxes for Caesar. Verse 15. Then the Pharisees met together to think of a way to trap Jesus into saying something for which they could accuse him. Verse 16. They decided to send some of their disciples, along with the supporters of Herod, to ask him this question. Quote, "Teacher, we know how honest you are. You teach about the way of God regardless of the consequences. You are impartial and don't play favorites." Verse 17. "Now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to the Roman government or not?" Unquote. Verse 18. But Jesus knew their evil motives. Quote, "You hypocrites," unquote, he said. Quote, "Whom are you trying to fool with your trick questions?" Verse 19.
As though they're smart and God is stupid. God who created them and created everything else, and that God is stupid and they're intelligent. When they're possessed by the devil isn't stupid. He sent himself to hell and everyone that believes him. He's stupid. The stupid is a kind word for what he is. A reprobate, full of delusion. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 19. "Here, show me the Roman coin used for the tax," unquote. When they handed him the coin, verse 20, he asked, quote, "Whose picture and title are stamped on it?" Unquote. Verse 21, quote, "Caesar's," unquote, they replied. Quote, "Well then," unquote, he said, quote, "Give to Caesar what belongs to him, but everything that belongs to God must be given to God," unquote.
Right. And the Old Testament says that you're not to give any, you're supposed to give, and the New Testament says you're supposed to give everything to God. All the heart, all the soul, all of it, 100%, all, A-L-L, all the heart, all, A-L, the soul, A-L-L, the mind, and A-L-L, the strength. So what's left for Caesar if everything goes to God? Huh?
Nothing.
Nothing. But the Lord says not to offend him, pay the taxes, okay, because that's all, if they don't repent, that's all those weasels are ever going to get. That's all those weasels, and weasel's a kind word. The Lord calls them dogs and pigs, amen, that they have been saved and they go back to their former state, or these people that are reprobate, that means rejects of God, chaff to be burned, goats, not sheep, but goats, chaff, not wheat, worthless people. Give them their money. And the Lord says, I'll multiply it back to you anyway. Just go ahead and pay your taxes. And I do pay my taxes, and yet they stacked up a bunch of false witnesses against me, and because I preached the gospel, and sent me to prison for 6 years. I got out on 4 years because of good behavior, but it really tricked the devil, because while I was in there, I won all kinds of souls to the Lord, and a lot of them were Muslims, and a lot of street gangs and things like that. So some of you may say, well, you ought to stay in prison then. Well, no, you learn the gospel, and you go to prison, okay? I put in my 4 years plus a half year in the halfway house. Now it's your turn. But some of you wouldn't risk it. You wouldn't go out and preach the gospel because you're afraid of persecution, aren't you? And so therefore, you never take root. You never bring forth fruit unto the Lord. But, you know, you needn't, don't worry about persecution, because here I am still preaching the gospel, right? And not a hair on my head was damaged by anybody in prison. Okay, and a lot of gangs were coming after me because they heard of these false rumors or the things that the press put out. And I showed them and convinced them, and with all kinds of testimonies, that they were nothing but a pack of lies that were said about me in the newspapers. And even the newspapers recanted. And even some of the judges today are saying they're sorry that they did what they did to me. And also prosecuting attorneys are saying the same thing, because they know that this is a work of God for sure. All right? Because many of them have been healed through this work, and many of them have been delivered from their wicked ways by the preaching of the gospel that the Lord is preaching in and through me. Okay, now what else?
Verse 22, his reply amazed them, and they went away. Discussion about resurrection. Verse 23, that same day some Sadducees stepped forward, a group of Jews who say there is no resurrection after death. They posed this question.
That's why they're called Sadducees. They're sad, you see, because they don't believe that there's life after death. All right, then what? Well, that's a little pun. Okay, then what?
They posed this question. Verse 24, quote, teacher, Moses said, for if a man dies without children, his brother should marry the widow and call the child who will be the brother's heir, unquote. Verse 25, well, there were seven brothers. The oldest married and then died without children, so the second brother married the widow. Verse 26, this brother also died without children, and the wife was married to the next brother, and so on until she had been the wife of each of them. Verse 27, and then she also died. Verse 28, so tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For she was the wife of all seven of them. Verse 29, Jesus replied, quote, your problem is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God.
Right, you don't know the Spirit of God that resurrects people from the dead. You don't believe that. Sad, you see. Then what?
Verse 30, for when the dead rise, they won't be married. They will be like the angels in heaven.
When the Lord is telling them, they will rise. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? There's no reproduction of angels. They don't fornicate. They don't have sexual relationships there because they don't have any uncomely parts. Those don't go with you into heaven. You say, oh my God, there won't be any sex. No, sex is like an inferior sensation in heaven. Heaven, there's so much sensation, there's like billions of times more gratifying than sex. Trillions of times better. I mean, there's no need for such an inferior sensation as sex in heaven. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. I've had 10 children. I enjoyed sex. But, you know, I know that in heaven you wouldn't even think about that because the sensation is so incredible. It's like trillions of times better than the sensation of sex. Now, I know because, like, I'm a prophet of the Lord, and I have seen heaven, and I have seen hell. And I've seen heaven on three different occasions, and I've seen the Lord right before my face. And when my eyes were wide open, I was wide awake. I've had many supernatural experiences with the Lord. I'm Jewish. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman, but I changed my name to Tony Alamo years ago when I used to be in the entertainment industry. And when I make records, I still go under Tony Alamo. And when I make these tapes, I'm still Pastor Tony Alamo, World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're all over the world, over 200 countries. Then what?
Verse 31. But now as to whether there will be a resurrection of the dead, haven't you ever read about this in the scriptures? Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said, verse 32, quote, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, unquote. Quote, so he is the God of the living, not the dead, unquote.
Right, so if those people were dead, really, their spirits were dead, why would he say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He's not the God of the dead. These people are alive. And all of us that are born again of the Spirit are alive forevermore, just like Christ. Because if we're in his body, we're alive forevermore. Thank God. You should be grateful, thankful. You should be praising and blessing the Lord all day long because of that. Your poor, carnal, human mind cannot fathom how beautiful it is in heaven. Or you can't fathom how heinous, horrible, and the different things of hell, the torments there. There's millions of them. If you think of, you know, you've heard of people pulling fingernails out of people and sending them into lion dens and They're stoning people to death and all. The torments there are so horrible. It never stops. The flames, the boredom, the frustration of not being able to have anything to eat or drink, especially drink, and to constantly be working by throwing yourself against a pit and just screaming out, mercy, mercy, mercy. You can't say anything other than that, and there isn't any breath there. It's just like a thing that comes out of you like a squawk box or something. You're nothing like but a squeeze box. Every time you hit the pit, it's mercy, mercy. And your mouth is dry, and you're tired, and you want to sit down. And there's none of that there. And then it goes on and on. I've seen like the inside of a golf ball where it's just stark white, and your eyes, just like a tree that can't move or see, you just, your eyes are wide open, you can't close them, and you're just looking into stark white. And it's so horrible, just that alone, that you scream out because you know it's going to last forever. And, I mean, it's just unexplainable, the horrible continuous afterlife there is for those who reject the gospel. Okay, can you continue on, please?
Verse 33, when the crowds heard him, they were impressed with his teaching. The most important commandment, verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they thought up a fresh question of their own to ask him. Verse 35, one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Verse 36, quote, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Unquote. Verse 37, Jesus replied, quote, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Unquote. Verse 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. Verse 39, the second is equally important, quote, love your neighbor as yourself, unquote. Verse 40, quote, all the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments, unquote. Whose son is the Messiah? Verse 41, then, surrounded by the Pharisees, Jesus asked them a question. Verse 42, quote, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? Unquote. They reply, quote, he is the son of David. Unquote. Verse 43, Jesus responded, quote, then why does David, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, call him Lord? Unquote. For David said, verse 44, quote, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in honor on my right hand until I humble your enemies beneath your feet. Unquote. Verse 45, quote, since David called him Lord, how can he be his son at the same time? Unquote. Verse 46, no one could answer him, and after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
Right. All right, so that was the 46th verse, chapter 22, Matthew, a translation, and now commentary.
Chapter 22, verses 1 through 10. When the king's servants brought everyone they could find to the wedding feast, there were good and bad people. The offer was open to anyone who wanted to come. So it is with everyone. Everyone is invited, and anyone can refuse the offer. The same principles apply to growing powerful in the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants everyone to be led by the Holy Spirit and to lead a heavenly, productive, godly life, and anyone can refuse to start the process of growth in the Lord. Will we be like the first group of guests and suffer for our decision? Or will we be like the second group and enjoy what God offers us? Chapter 22, verses 33 through 40. To simplify our priorities, Jesus narrowed the 600-plus regulations of the law and amplified the law of Moses into two foundational commandments. Love God with everything we are, and have and love our neighbors as ourself. To do these is to obey every other law.
Yes, because you'll never commit adultery with someone that you love more than yourself. And doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Would you want somebody to have sexual relationships with your wife? No, and so you would never commit adultery, and you wouldn't murder anyone. And so you would never lie to anyone. You would never steal from anyone because you love them as yourself. You wouldn't want anybody to steal from you or lie to you or murder you or your children. And so those two major commandments, the Bible goes on to say that if you break even one of the least, you would never covet anything from someone you love. You'd be happy for them for what they have. I know I am. I mean, I'm happy when I see people prosper. I really am. I guess that shows that I love them or prefer them before myself. And I would never think of murdering anybody or telling people to murder anybody, no matter what they've done to me. Okay, then what?
A better two-point summary of the 12 steps could not be found. But when we love God with every fiber of our being, we will not want to do anything to disgrace Him or make Him angry with us. Loving others should make us aware of the pain others feel when we engage in our going back into the world, if that's what you were going to do. Our concern and love for them should make us think twice before causing them to suffer.
Right, if they see us going to the world, they say, well, I've always admired that person. So, I mean, if he goes in the world, I guess God's going to bless him, so I'll go. That isn't going to happen. I don't care how much you admire somebody. If they fall away, if your mother doesn't go to heaven, then, you know, or your wife or your husband or your son or daughter, if they choose not to, don't follow suit with them because, If you were in hell, a woman saw her, she always said that she'd walk in her mother's, she said she would never want to be in heaven if her mother wouldn't be there. And so she had a vision of hell where she was there burning and screaming her head off, and she told it in our church that she said, so help me God, if I was in hell, and I could get out, I had high heel shoes on when I saw this vision. She said I'd stand in my mother's face and punch her eyes out with those high heel shoes to get out of there. If my mom wants to go to hell, that's not going to influence me to go, she said. All right, and I'm guaranteeing you would feel the same way if you saw what hell was like. Now here's part five of regeneration.
The beginning of the new man. We were led by the old man before. Now this is the beginning of the new man.
Okay, this is the beginning of the old man. Was you know, we were born. The old man is symbolic of the devil. Or also Adam, because Adam was on his way to hell. But the new man is when Christ enters in us and is reborn in us. And so continue on.
So being born again of the Spirit, or being regenerated, is also the beginning of the new man within us. All our experiences of spiritual life are matters of the new man within us.
And the new man within us is Jesus with the Father by the Spirit. Then what?
And this new man begins at the very time of God entering into us, or our regeneration.
Right, when Christ is reborn in us. Then what?
Before we are regenerated, we are in the old man, or we're in Adam. Adam is a fallen sinner. The old man must die. Once we are regenerated, God's life in Christ by the Spirit enters into us. This life is a completely new element that comes into us, and when it enters us and mingles itself with our spirit, it becomes the new man within us. Therefore, every one of us who has been born again of the Spirit or regenerated is a double man. We are on one hand the old man in Adam that was fallen, and we are on the other hand the new man in Christ Jesus. We are born again, regenerated, or saved.
Now we're the same looking on the outside, except we have happy face now, happy eyes, and inside we're different. The evil spirit that's been cast out of us, and the Lord is in us now. So we're God-men and God-women. We're humans, yet God lives in us. Christ with the Father by the Spirit. Then what?
This new man begins at this very time of our accepting God in Christ into us. That's our regeneration. Therefore, regeneration or salvation is the beginning of the new man.
All right. Praise the Lord. That was chapter 22 of Matthew, 46 verses, translation and commentary, and part 5 of regeneration. Now, tomorrow, God willing, we'll be doing chapter 23 of Matthew, and we'll be doing part 6 of regeneration. Until then, you know, keep yourself away from sin, Satan, and the world. Give your life entirely, give your whole focus entirely on the Lord, because all the lusts will grow faint and dim and completely wiped out if you'll do that. People have such a struggle today keeping away from sin, Satan, and the world. Don't look at the world. Look at Christ, okay, and say, where's Christ? The Bible is Christ. The Word of God is Christ. Keep your mind and heart there and learn how to enter the kingdom of heaven and stay totally out of hell and the lake of fire. In the meantime, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.